This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Hey, we have another one of these special podcasts for you today. If you've been around here for a while, you know that I've been friends with a guy by the name of Dan Amadouri for a good, I don't know, 6 or 7 years now. Dan and his company, Future Money Trends, often bring to me names of companies that they are working with to kind of get the word spread about, you know, how exciting of an opportunity a particular company might be. And Dan came to me last week with another one, a name that I had never looked at before, never heard of, actually. And I thought, hey, you know, as more I looked into it, I thought this looks rather compelling. And so I got back to Dan and said, okay, yeah, this is somebody I want to talk to. So that somebody is a guy by the name of John Anderson. John is chairman and CEO of a company called Triumph Gold Corp. You'll see on this page all the ticker symbols so that you can do your own research, your own due diligence, and find out more about it. But I thought, hey, you know, again, here's a great opportunity to go right to the horse's mouth. So, John, you're the horse in this case. thank you for spending a few minutes with me.
Thanks, Greg, and thanks for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it.
All right, so before we get started, obviously, you know, we're going to talk about Triumph Gold Corp and the gold market and all that kind of stuff. But tell everybody a little bit about you, your background, and what drew you to this particular opportunity at this moment in time.
Well, I got involved in the gold market in the mid '90s. I got involved with a company called Bema Gold. I was hired by a man who at the time to help out with investor relations. I was actually their landlord in an office development, and I had a good relationship with them, and they seemed it was a perfect match. I knew nothing about gold. I knew a little bit about the capital markets, but I trusted these people. And from 1995 to 1999, I got involved in so many different facets of that organization, and that went from about a $50 million company to $1.5 billion when I left in 1999. And I got the, I won't say the bug for gold, but I have a clear understanding of it, learned it, and stuck with it.
And so then you got involved specifically with Triumph, what, back in 2015, is that right?
Actually, I got involved as an investor. My gold bug, or my love of the basically of the industry, I had a gold fund that I started. It was a New York-based fund in 2005, and it ran for 2009. It was a private equity fund, closed-end fund. It did very well, and I fell in love with the Triumph Gold, which or the predecessor company was called Northern Free Gold in 2006. I invested into the IPO, personally invested, put the fund in, and I just absolutely loved the story. It was a compelling story. It was a company that was the first public company to come out of the Yukon, which had been an area that had been explored, mined for over 100 years. And nothing had really been done in the Yukon since really 1981 because of political reasons. And the breakdown of the market in 1981. So when the Yukon government got control of its natural resources in 2003, the whole area opened up. And this little company, Northern Free Gold, was the first public company to go out and stake a significant land package in a road-accessible area that in a remote area had so many advantages. And it was just a compelling story. And that's how I got involved, strictly as an investor. And directly taking over the company in 2015, literally at the bottom of the market after the correction from when gold went to $2,000 and dropped down to $1,000, everything kind of fell apart. People gave up on gold, and I just saw the opportunity with a phenomenal asset that would be worth a lot more money in the future.
And now you've built the company out to a great extent, and you've got a great team working with you as well, because I know we always... One of the things that everybody always tells me, you got to have an experienced team as well as, you know, a great property. What can you tell me about the team you've got working with you?
Yeah, the team is actually very frugal. When we when I took this over in 2015, we had a substantial resource, and hopefully your readers will go and take a look at it. But we had three resources on the property with over $50 million spent on it to compile that resource. Had 5 million ounces of gold equivalent ounces in three deposits. The market wasn't paying it for it. It was not paying it for it. So, being a realist, I looked at with a large institutional investor and said, let's look at the opportunity of the project differently. Let's not look at the ounces that are there. Let's not be biased by previous studies. Let's look at the exploration potential. So we went around and we found some independent people to look at the project and give us a report. And we engaged this gentleman named Tony Baresi. He was an independent. He was an economic geologist, had 15 years up in the area, BC, Yukon, knew the area very well. And he was an economic geologist. And what that means is he's looking for things that are economic at those metal prices at that time. Mm-hmm. And don't be biased by those resources. What's the exploration potential? What else can be there? And the reason I'm saying this is that Tony Baresi became our VP of exploration. He has done three incredible programs over 3 years on our property, and just recently we promoted him to be the president of the company. He has been driving that, and he's got a full team behind him, and they're fast, they're adaptable, things change, they're not stubborn, and they've come up with incredible ideas. We've followed up on every single one of them, and we've hit. And that's why we have the investor base that we actually have.
So as we look, I want to talk more about Triumph Gold Corp in a second. But I want to kind of spin off into just kind of prices in general, because like you said, you got gold fever a long time ago, like I did, and we've had a very difficult beginning of this decade, I guess, from 12 through 15, but now particularly now this year with central bank policy changes and. And things are certainly obviously looking up. You being, I guess we'll call it an exploration company, you need higher prices, for things to become economical and stuff like that. Just in general, I mean, do you see higher prices on the way? I know that people know that's what I see, but, big time investors, Lassonde, Druckenmiller, I mean, Mobius, you name it, everybody's starting to get on the gold train. I mean, do you sense that's the direction that prices are headed, and how that will probably impact your business in a positive way?
Absolutely. I see much higher gold prices and silver prices. When you speak to most CEOs, they're going to tell you the typical, we've got projects that, are viable in today's market, and you kind of put me to sleep. I believe gold's going a lot higher, so we're acting as if gold's going higher. I've been around for a while. My degree is in history and economics, so I love the history, the technical sides of gold and understanding it. I understand what happened in 2011 at the peak and why it dropped down to half of what it does. Every time you see a big spike in gold, it happened in the 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, 2011. Every time it corrects 50%, and it takes 6 years roughly, they start to head back, and we're on that upward trend. And I truly believe that $1,500 is a start of where we're going. I think I was quoted with another newsletter writer earlier in the year saying, I think gold's going to be upwards of $1,700 by the end of the year. Got laughed at because gold was at $1,200. Well, everyone's starting to talk this way.
Yeah.
And I think once we go through 2000, you've got a free ride to 2,500. And then it's a whole new ballgame altogether.
No doubt about that. I folks here on this site know, and you maybe know Eric Sprott. I talk to Eric Sprott on a podcast every Friday, and he has discussed and kind of educated me about how in the early stages of a bull market, it's the big producing companies that really take off because their earnings are going to explode, double and triple as prices go up. Then you get into more of the juniors as prices continue higher. Then you get into these exploration companies. I characterize Triumph Gold as that. A few minutes ago, is that the right term to describe your company?
I think we're saying we're an exploration company, but we're beyond that. We had a PEA on our project. We've got a substantial resource, so we're between a junior and an exploration company. We've got over $60 million spent on it in the last 10 years. We have substantial resource, but we're looking at the exploration opportunities, and we've knocked it out of the park. We've taken an aggressive approach. We've successfully drilled and come up with new discoveries on our property, and now we've got to develop those and show the world what we actually have. So we are between that exploration / junior company, because we have the resources. We don't have to go out and find them. We're just finding higher grade, better ounces, and much, we think, a lot more ounces.
Was that PEA the one that said you maybe have as many as 5 million ounces in the ground?
Yeah, that was done in 2014.
Yeah, tell me about that.
So that was done previous management, and you know, that was a snapshot in time. You had 3 million ounces of gold, 5 million ounces gold equivalent on three deposits. The company then was not being, you know, was being valued like every little company. It was getting $10 market cap per every ounce in the ground. And they decided if they did a PEA, which is just a step towards a feasibility, you would get a $30 valuation for those ounces. And it was that's what the market demanded back then, and the market was paying it for those. But unfortunately, that was done in 2013, and as you so aptly mentioned earlier, 2012, everything just kind of fell apart.
Yeah,
they just blew their brains out. But the numbers were compelling at 1240 gold and 260 copper. So we know we have that. We know our worst case. We've got those call options on gold. I've been involved in another company that's been in the same situation before, and at the bottom of the market, it doesn't get any value for those things. And in a robust market, it's going to get huge valuation for it. What we've done is we've taken those ounces, put them in the background. They're not going to get up and go away. No one's going to take them. The deposit's not going to be mine. No one's going to make a claim for them. We own them. So we decided to go, let's go get better ounces. Let's go get higher grade ounces. And that's what we've been able to do.
What then, as you know, as we move forward? I mean, you and I are both thinking prices go higher. What are the next action steps for you with this company?
Well, we've been able to secure some pretty good financings in the last 3 years in bad times, and we've done it all ourselves. We brought Goldcorp, who has subsequently been bought by Newmont. They are our largest shareholder. They have about 18% of our shares. I've got Zijin Mining out of China. They own a substantial position through their mining equity fund out of Hong Kong. And I've got Palisades Capital, who's got a good 15%, and a couple other funds that have substantial positions. So every year in the last 3 years, we've been able to finance when most people can't, with good long-term investors. And we've done 3 years of basically $5 million a year of exploration. And we know technically we've knocked it out of the park.
So as you look at it, John, I mean, maybe this is too hard of a statement or too, you know, big of a question, but I mean, is there a certain price you think you need to have to start, you know, going from exploration to moving toward production? Or
I don't think we're going to see that with this company. What we are is we're developing an asset, and it's like other companies I've been involved in. Mm-hmm. We are going to make this thing big. We're going to have large ounces. And as the gold market moves up, and as you know, quoted Eric Sprott saying the earnings for these companies are going to come in, they're going to have to start doing things with that cash. They're going to have to start replacing the ounces that they're depleting faster than that they'll ever find. You know, this quarter, next quarter is going to be really interesting, because last quarter gold was at 1200, now it's at 1500.
Right.
So you've got a $300 margin that did not exist last quarter. So you get a couple quarters like that. Yeah, those companies start spinning out a lot of cash. And the majors don't do exploration efficiently. They all admit it. That's why Goldcorp invested into us, because we can do exploration efficiently. These people have to replace their ounces. They have to replace reserves. In the old days, Barrick was always talking about getting up to 7 and then maybe 10 million ounces. They're nowhere near that. All these majors, you know, a few years ago, you would hear about companies, you know, in the 90s, if you had 1 million ounces, you weren't even looked at, and people would take you out, which was true. Then it became 5 million ounces. And the majors, the word is, if you're not 5 million ounces, the majors aren't going to buy you. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? They're now looking at 3 million ounce deposits. Well, we've already got one.
Yeah.
And we think we're onto something that's multiples to that. So what's our end game? We're a frugal company, and we're going to develop the assets as best we can and efficiently with the highest grade ounces that we can come up with. And we know we're going to be bought. And right now it's a buyer's market. We're not going to sell into a buyer's market.
Right.
We are going to sell this into a seller's market with a, hopefully the highest share price and the most amount of ounces we could think we can shake out of this thing.
Right.
With a lot of upside for the person that buys it, because it's very costly to develop. And for a little junior to go out and say at this stage that we're going to do it, I think we'll be laughed at. Things could change. Don't get me wrong. We could get well-financed. People start seeing the value in our company. Then we'll evaluate at that time. But right now, we're going to develop this project to be as attractive as possible for someone to buy it.
All right. So to that end, I guess my last question then would be, and I think this is pretty important. I think we've all heard, all of us, everybody listening, people in the industry, you hear stories about great projects, and all this gold in the ground. And then it turns out to be like under Mount Everest someplace that you can't get to it, that kind of thing. It sounds really good. You got some gold on the ground on Mars. Yeah. Okay. Terrific. But that's not the case. I mean, like you said, you're in the Yukon, which can be a little hard to get at, but I understand the Canadian government is working on an infrastructure plan up there. So, I mean, your properties are economically feasible. And now you even get a little extra, a little help from the feds.
Yeah, well, beyond that, I'll explain the Fed situation and the Yukon Territory doing an infrastructure upgrade. But our project, albeit in the Yukon, it is right off the Klondike Highway. It is an hour and a half drive off the Klondike Highway. And what appealed to me, I said earlier on, was the infrastructure. So we're two hours or an hour and a half, depending how fast you drive up the highway, the major highway from the capital city of Whitehorse. And then we've got a government-maintained road that goes to our property and right through our property. And our property is over 20 miles long. It's five times bigger than Manhattan. There's so much exploration on it, but we have the infrastructure. And the important thing about that is our cost to find ounces is a fraction of what all of our competitors up in the Yukon have had to deal with, because we don't have helicopter costs. We drive our drill rigs right there. We have a breakdown with a part. We need a part for drill rig. 4 hours later, it's on site. It's not days later.
Yeah.
We've been able to drill for, as little as $200 a meter all in, including all staff and labor, because of that. Our competitors are between $400 and $600. This project was put together fortuitously by the original prospector, Bill Harris, who had the foresight to do this at the bottom of the market. More so, though, the Yukon government, the federal government, have announced what's called the Gateway Project. And the Gateway Project is this infrastructure that you're talking about. The first part of that is upgrading our road to a two-lane, 50-mile-an-hour road. The second part is connecting our road up to where Western Copper and Newmont have their project. And they're only 40 kilometers north of us with no road. Hmm. Newmont, at the time it was Goldcorp, paid $520 million for our neighbor, which was Kaminak Resources, that had about 5 million ounces. And here we are sitting around $50 million right now. And I think that, that's what our goal is to be bought for what Kaminak was bought at. And the difference is we've got the infrastructure.
And we're looking now down the line at maybe a more timely opportunity to purchase you guys rather than when that, what was Kaminak, would you, what, that property went out.
Kaminak. back in 2016.
Yeah, exactly. Think how much better things are versus in 2019. I mean, I would think your valuation would be even better. Well, John, I find this, again, I think as everybody's listened, you can see why I found this compelling and why I wanted to bring it to everybody. I mean, you've got the team, John and his team, they know what they're doing, and they're running this, as John says, as frugally as they can, proving up the assets that they have in the ground. It's in the Yukon, so it's a territory, it's a sovereignty, it's a jurisdiction that we know is good for mining. The infrastructure is being built out, so it's not like it's in the middle of nowhere. And then you've already got, it's not like you're not on anybody's radar and just operating, you know, in the shadows. You've already got a couple of majors that have taken a major stake in the company. I mean, all of these dots seem to connect pretty well. And I think you can see why it presents a pretty compelling opportunity. What did I miss, John? Does that pretty much bring it together?
Yeah, no, you hit it bang on. Yukon is a great jurisdiction. If you own a company, a Canadian listed company that's got a property in Canada, in the Yukon, and people say it doesn't work. Just look at Victoria Gold. They just developed a $400 million gold mine that started pouring gold on September the 17th of this year. You had the Wolverine deposit running successfully for 4 years. You got the Minto mine just 10 miles north of us. You got Newmont that's developing the coffee project 40 kilometers north of us. There's a lot going on. And we think we're at center ice as far as the location of this geologically. We are just starting to get that story out. And again, Craig, I appreciate for allowing me to be on your podcast.
It's very exciting, John. And I'm just thrilled to get a chance to know you and to know more about Triumph. And I encourage everybody. I mean, don't take it from me. Don't take it even straight from John. You got to do your own due diligence, and you got to look into these things and find out if it fits in your risk profile and where it might fit in your asset allocation. But this is an exciting, I think, very exciting, very interesting company. Again, Triumph Gold Corp. The guy we've been talking to is John Anderson, the CEO and chairman of the board. John, it trades, the equity trades, I would assume, what, Vancouver or Toronto?
It trades on the TSX Venture. It trades in Germany and also on the QX board in the U.S. under the symbol TIGCF.
TIGCF. We'll make sure we put all those symbols on here so everybody can take a look and figure out where this fits. John, I look forward to getting some updates in the months to come. Between now and then, though, it's very exciting to think where gold might go and then the spotlight that you're going to get from some of these majors as they look to expand their own portfolios. This is a fun time to be alive, and thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Yeah, and Craig, we've finished our exploration program this year. We've only come out with the first phase of the results. We have a couple more phases. We'll be coming out with news from this program right up until after the new year. These were deep, deep holes. They take a long time to get tested, and we've literally drilled the richest and deepest holes in the Yukon's history. And we should have these results out over the next few months. So it's really exciting from our standpoint.
Absolutely. Sounds to me like we're going to have to talk again here in a couple of months.
Okay.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much for your time.
Craig, thanks so much. Cheers.
And from everybody here at TFMR, thank you for listening, and please be sure to check out Triumph Gold Corp. We'll